Let us bring in Kerry Crowley from the Bay Area News Group. It is Sunday morning. Kerry, how are you?
Beautiful morning this morning, Marty, so I'm great. How are you?
Well, we're doing well today. It's Cueto Day today, and you were there on Tuesday night when he pitched against the Pirates, and I don't know, there's just something about the guy, and we see it maybe in Tyler Rogers, that unique style, and everyone today comes in throwing 95 and this and that, and then you see something so different. And Cueto is that, so I'm looking forward just to see what he does today. He is the true professional for me on the mound.
Well, he's part baseball player, part performer. He goes out there to entertain and impress, and no one makes baseball as fun on the Giants club as Johnny Cueto, in my opinion. You know, he just has such a great time when he's out there on the mound. Every time he takes the mound, it's an event. You want to tune in to see what Johnny Cueto does, whether it's the shimmies, the twists, the turns. It's really fun to see him back and pitching again because the Giants desperately needed it.
Kerry, what do you think his future is with the Giants here? I mean, he's a guy who's now, his arm has been repaired. A lot of these pitchers now come back and are as successful, if not better. I mean, you look at Will Smith and what he's been able to do. But because Johnny Cueto has been such an effective pitcher and not just a 97, 98 mile an hour guy, where do you think he lies? You think he's got will he finish his contract, I guess, with San Francisco is my question.
I think so. I mean, unless the Giants get to a point in 2020 or 2021 where they're really underperforming and think that they can gain a lot by trading him, I expect him to pitch well. I think that this Tommy John surgery has given him a new lease on life in his baseball career. I think that you look at pitchers around the game who are having success in their mid to late 30s, and you know, you don't need to have a 100-mile-an-hour fastball to do it. Sure, it helps Justin Verlander, but you know, Zach Greinke's been able to do it. Hyunjin Ryu in Los Angeles is 33, and he's having success throwing 90 miles an hour. So I think that Johnny Cueto, with his precision and command, can still be a successful pitcher into his mid-30s.
Boy, good question, Adam. Good question. I think he's gone before the end of the contract. If he's healthy, and I don't know what's going on. I'm with Bumgarner. That has, and again, I'll say yesterday what I said yesterday. No one's heard from him. From Bumgarner. No one, you know, he hasn't said, well, I just want to see what free agency looks like, or I'd like to test the waters. Or
C.B. Buckner heard from him, but it wasn't about his status for next year.
Yeah. So I guess it spills over onto Cueto, but I could see if Cueto comes back and looks healthy, just like Kerry just described, the pitchers who have come back from injuries and become effective. Absolutely, I could see them flipping him at the trade deadline next year if he's okay. So I'd say he doesn't finish his contract with the Giants.
Thank you. I'm sorry. I don't know if you're coming over.
Well, interesting, because I think Farhan's much more open to trading position players right now than he is pitchers. And I think, you know, a test case for him will be Jeff Samardzija and what he does this offseason, because there's only going to be 1 year left on Samardzija's contract. $20 million is what the Giants owe him, or in that neighborhood. So will they deal Samardzija this offseason and try to gain something, maybe some payroll flexibility, get a prospect in return? I think what they do with Samardzija will kind of tell us what they have in store for Cueto in the future.
Do you think if Madison Bumgarner does not come back and you haven't spent that money, and maybe even if Will Smith doesn't come back on a qualifying offer or a contract, does that make them less likely to trade a Jeff Samardzija because of the lack of depth at the starting pitching spot?
I think so. I mean, you know, Farhan has talked about going into a season, you need way more than five pitchers. You need 7 to 9 starting pitchers who can get you 15 to 20 starts in a season. The Giants did not really have that this season. That's where they struggled, especially at the beginning of the year. With Cueto out, they just didn't have that depth in the rotations they thought they did. And, of course, Derek Rodriguez struggling was not part of the plan. Tyler Beatty didn't come along as well as they hoped at the beginning of the season. And so dealing Chris Stratton at the beginning of the year, they lost an arm there. Ty Block had his worst season, and he ended up getting DFA'd. And so I think that, you know, they'll need a lot more starting pitching depth coming into next year. And I think that Farhan knows that.
Well, Kerry Crowley with us, Bay Area News Group. Well, you're on your way to Boston. What do you think about what's coming up next week and on to Atlanta? And, boy, Fenway Park and Chris Shaw coming back. And, boy, Yastrzemski. And you just know East Coast baseball, and I grew up with it before coming to Florida as a young man. And East Coast baseball is still in my blood, so to speak. That's the way I learned the game. And Boston's got Yastrzemski coming back. They're going to go nuts about it.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, I've been looking forward to this all season long. Anytime you get to go to Fenway Park, it's special, especially for a National League team and covering the Giants. You don't get these opportunities. I don't think the Giants have been there since 2007. So just to go and cover a game at Fenway Park and say you've done that is going to be really special. And then to add Yastrzemski to the whole equation, I mean, Giants teammates Chris Shaw, Tyler Beede, I talked to them this week about what they're anticipating. They think Mike Yastrzemski is going to get a standing ovation when he comes up for the first time because of what that name means to Boston. They think that those fans are going to go wild when they see him.
They're going to have to restrain them. That's what a big deal it's going to be. They'll think it's Carl. You know.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a huge deal. It's like Ted Williams' son coming back like that. It's really a grandson. It is a huge, huge part of what's going to be happening next week. Kerry, I said on the postgame show last night, I talked a little bit about Crawford. He's starting to hit the ball a little better. Of course, it is September. You know, we don't fall in love in September. But he's hitting the ball better. But I started thinking about him with the no-trade clause. He's from the Bay Area. I don't think he's going anywhere. There's no one ready to replace him. But talking to Mauricio Dubon yesterday, I think Crawford is here like Posey is for Bart. And by the way, there's a big article, and Kerry, I don't know if you saw it in the Chronicle today, about Posey and what he anticipates next year coming back from the injury for a second year. But I think Crawford's got a real role in the future of Dubon to be a mentor towards him and eventually turn that position over to him. You think that's true?
I do, but I don't think the future, at least the next two seasons for Brandon Crawford, is going to include 500 plate appearances each season. I think that they're going to find a way to bring his plate appearances down, whether they bring in another infielder like Dubon, who has the ability to play both shortstop and second base. I think that you're right, that he will be a mentor, that he will play a role on this Giants team, but I don't think that we're going to see him in an everyday starting role by the end of next season that we would have seen had they not brought Dubon in, because he is such a lightning rod. He's got all this raw potential, and now it's about the Giants getting him comfortable at the major league level, giving him the opportunity to win jobs, and you know, eventually they're going to have Marco Luciano knocking on the door by 2021, 2022, and so you'll have some turnover in the middle infield.
Well, it's funny you mentioned the number of at-bats, because I've been looking at that. I've been sort of tracking that with Buster Posey for the last couple of weeks and thinking that, you know, he's had more off days, it seems like, than in recent years. And I know they always try to manage those, you know, catching the day game after a night game. But it seems like in the past maybe he's even played more first base. This year right now, only 109 games played, 386 at-bats. Do you think we'll see an uptick next year? Do you think they were being careful because of the repaired hip? Where are we with Buster Posey's usage, I guess?
I mean, I don't think we'll see an uptick unless he's a significantly improved offensive player. And like Marty mentioned, you know, the article in the Chronicle, there's many Giants players and coaches who are predicting Buster Posey to be better 2 years removed from hip surgery. It's just hard to forecast that for a player who will be 34 years old or 33 years old. And it's so there's a lot of unknown there, but I don't think that they will move him to first base. I think that, you know, his role is probably as a catcher, and I think maybe it's a part-time role because you've got Joey Bart coming. Maybe they bring Stephen Vogt back to play some catcher, some first base, some left field, and go from there. But I'm not sure that you can have Buster Posey come to the plate 500 times in a season, especially, you know, if they put him in those 3, 4, 5, and 6 spots in the order.
All right, Kerry Crowley with us, Bay Area News Group. Kerry, the other thing I want to talk about is the article you did this week. It really was a lot of fun. Let's have you summarize a little bit, maybe your favorite parts of the article, of talking to Giants players and seeing if they have the aptitude to become broadcasters. What'd you come out of that with?
It was a really fun story to report. I spoke to about 15 different players to gauge their interest in a future in broadcasting, a future in sports media, whether it be pre- or post-game show hosts, color commentary, radio shows. And I came to the conclusion that just about every player thinks that they would be really good at it, first off. That's what they all said. You know, you've got guys who said, oh, I'm definitely going to do it. I'm going in right away. But my personal favorite part was the barb shared between Brandon Crawford and Brandon Belt, where they each said that, you know, they would the other player would put the audience to sleep if they were behind a microphone. And I thought that was really funny. You know, Crawford had self-deprecating humor. He said that he didn't think anyone would be able to hear him. Belt said that he'd be good at it. Not quite sure that that's what the profession is all about, but that's what they gave us.
Well, we lost the part of that last answer there, about 10 seconds. Repeat that for us.
Well, Brandon Belt said, you know, I'm not sure, or I think that I could do it because I make small talk about nothing for a really long time. And so I'm not sure that that's what the profession is all about, but that's what Belt said.
You know, it's funny. Is,
you lose me again there?
Yeah, we're with you. The funny thing about that statement is, you know, you get these rain delays, and Marty will tell you sometimes you need small talk for a couple of hours where you just got to get through these pregame shows. The other story that comes to mind is, you remember Mike Bassick? He gave up 756 to Bonds. I remember right around the time he gave up that home run, he did a great interview afterwards, and everyone said, man, you should step right into the broadcast booth. You'd be fantastic. And he's thinking, you know, I'd like to finish my major league career first. Now, sure enough, he's a college baseball analyst for ESPN.
Did you get to talk to Tony Watson at all?
I did talk to Tony Watson. He was great. You know, he was one of the players who was more humble about it. And I told him, you know, I've listened to Tony's interviews with Marty. He's the professor this season. I thought that he could do it, but he was pretty humble. And he said that Ryan Vogelsong would make a good guy for it. And he also mentioned Will Smith as a possibility. And then ultimately settled on Jeff Samardzija as his target because a lot of the pitchers really love what Samardzija has to say.
I like it. And, of course, we had Mauricio Dubon on yesterday. And I'll tell you, I think we could have him sit in.
Oh, he's ready. Yeah.
Oh, he breaks down the game so well. I mean, he gave us an answer the other day about slapping a tag on someone at second base where he talked about kind of, you know, knowing that there's replay, knowing that there's reviews in the equation. And so he didn't even have to look at the base runners. All he thought to do was slap the tag down as fast as he could because he said he knew they could go to the cameras, look at it, and see. And to me, that's a really polished answer from a player who's just coming along in his major league career.
I was going to ask you about that because yesterday, and I think Marty would agree with this, in listening to him talk about the game, he seems like he's older than his years, right? And he gave a really cerebral statement when we asked him what he was most surprised about the majors. Usually you're looking for some big thing, and he said, no, I was surprised that the game is the same. Baseball is the same when you play it as a kid, as in high school, as in the major leagues, but the margin of error is just much smaller when you get to the big league. Does he seem wise like that when you talk to him about the game?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you can tell from his answers that this guy is a baseball junkie. He grew up loving the game. He moved to America to come play the game and pursue his dream, the first born and raised player in Honduras. And all he really does in his free time is watch baseball. He's always tuned into MLB Network. He's looking at what other players around the game are doing, how he can emulate them, what he can pick up from them. And you need guys like that around the clubhouse because a lot of these players grow up, they're born and so talented at baseball from an early age. They don't really have to work at it as much because they know that this is their future. Mauricio Dubon really had to work at this to make baseball part of his career, and he loves the game so much. And you come to appreciate players like that because you see the kind of behind-the-scenes work that they put in to make it to this level. And once they do make it, they have such an appreciation for the craft.
Yeah, I like it. He was very good with us yesterday. Kerry Crowley with us. All right, big week for you. Of course, Boston and Atlanta would be a lot of fun covering baseball, and I'm glad that you could do it. Maria Guardado was on with us yesterday, and she's the runaway leader for Rookie of the Year. Now, you were the last Rookie of the Year last year, so it's incumbent upon you to come up with a gift to give her if she doesn't do anything crazy over the next 2 weeks. She is the leader in the clubhouse, so to speak. So we will make that award probably on Saturday, the 28th. So I want you to be ready.
Yeah, I would be ready. Usually I'd say we could all bring some baked goods because everyone loves that. But no one's a better baker than Maria. I don't know if anyone knows that. But she could go tomorrow and open a bakery and have it be a world-class success. She's so good. She comes up with these treats all the time, different recipes. So I'd love to figure out a way to kind of include a gift like that. But that's what fans should know about Maria, Marty. She is so good as a baker.
And also what the award means to you that you were Rookie of the Year last year for the media.
Well, fortunately for me, I had no competition, so all it meant is that I showed up every day and got to work on time. And I think that was a really big deal for me, proving that I could be a professional out of college. Because you know, you don't always have to be at class on time, Marty, but you do have to come to work on time.
Well, that's the key to life, right, Adam?
I was going to say, Kerry, you don't have to be at class at all. You know what I mean? Sometimes
I went to the Harvard of the Southwest, Adam.
Attaboy.
So.
Attaboy.
Yeah, you did.
Come on, they won a big game yesterday.
They did, 10-7. Arizona State over Michigan State, going into East Lansing, coming out with a victory. It was a much a good football day for me. The Varsity Wildcats won it out at SI, and then Arizona State won. So no complaints from my side.
All right. Kerry, have a great afternoon. We'll look forward to speaking with you. Now, I'm not going to be here next week. I have a family event, a joyous occasion. So Adam will be doing the show next weekend, so you'll be talking with him next weekend from Atlanta.
Calling in from Atlanta. Looking forward to it. Have a good weekend, Marty.
All right.
Exactly.
Thanks, Kerry. All right, have a good afternoon. All right. That's Kerry Crowley. More coming up.